This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Brentford FC, come on you Brentford, come on you bees, come on you Brentford, come on, sit.
This is the besotted Pride of West London mini-pod. We've got Crystal Palace, we're going down to the Palace Tuesday night, and we just thought we need to talk to a Palace fan to find out exactly what's going on. It's not a full podcast, it's just a mini podcast this time. We just thought, let's get the SP on Palace. So we need to go to South East London, talk to Dee from Back of the Nest podcast. Dee, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you for having me on. I'm doing well. Of course, a bit disappointed from Saturday, but, you know, apart from that, it's all well.
That's right. I mean, Saturday is obviously the Man City game, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But I mean, tell you something. I mean, let's just go back to last season, because, I mean, obviously we played you a couple of times last season. But as Palace, just give us a quick summary about last season and were you happy with it, and give us your marks out of 10.
So last season, there wasn't many expectations. As you know, Patrick Vieira came in, different managers to Roy Hodgson, different style of football. We signed a lot of new quality players as well. So we understood that football is not as simple as some people make it out to be, and it's going to take a bit of a while before we can see the best out of Patrick Vieira. So last season, it started off relatively well. We had some good moments, some bad moments. We had the hiccups that we were expecting at the start of the season, especially with like set pieces. We were struggling with that. But as the season went on and we got more used to the Patrick Vieira style of football, and also small things like set pieces, we improved on them. We started getting some decent results. You know, last season, of course, it didn't happen this season, but last season, Manchester City didn't beat us, which is great, because when you look at a team like Manchester City, they're top class and they're always thriving to go and win the Champions League. Like, we didn't lose the Champions last season. We had some good results, but we mainly struggled against teams in and around us. That's where our problem was. And out of 10 last season, I'd probably give it an eight would be fair. Some people might be surprised because we didn't finish so high up the table, but we also had the FA Cup semi-final under Patrick Vieira's first season. So look, we had something to look forward to even at the start of the season. Vieira got us to the semi-final of the FA Cup. We still had a solid Premier League season. Towards the end of the season, it got a bit frustrating, especially after that defeat against Chelsea in FA Cup semi-final, because it seemed like the player just let go. But as a whole, in terms of the style of football, in terms of the direction that the club is heading in, it was like an 8 out of 10. Because right now at Crystal Palace, we have genuine belief and we have something to look forward to, which we didn't have for many seasons since we got promoted. Because when it was with previous managers such as Roy Hodgson and Alan Pardew, it was always stay up. Whereas now we're looking up the table rather than down the table. So as a whole, we are changing mentality, and it was solid. It was a solid first season, and he didn't struggle as many expected that he would.
I mean, that was last season. Obviously, this is the new season now, and it's here. And I'm just wondering, just to get a vibe from you, how's it been? I mean, how is your window to start off with? You know, are you excited about any players that you brought in?
Yeah, so we brought in a few players. We brought in Sam Johnston from West Brom, a goalkeeper that had high potential, but never has really played in Premier League apart from, I believe, one season at West Brom. So we brought him in, even though he doesn't start. We brought in Chris Richards from Bayern Munich, another young talent defender as well. So as a whole, in terms of transfer window, it's been pretty solid. We didn't have to buy a lot of new players, but we have got players in the right positions, such as Cheick Doucouré, a holding midfielder from Lens, a holding midfielder that we desperately needed due to the style of football that we play, with playing out from the back and keeping possession. And Cheick Doucouré kind of complements the defence and converts that ball into attack. So fantastic player there. But of course, our window's still not done and dusted. The transfer window shuts on Thursday. We're still linked with a few players like Conor Gallagher that we lost at the end of last season that we're still after. And another player that you guys might be thinking, oh wait, you play for Crystal Palace, Aaron Wan-Bissaka. There's rumours that he could potentially return to the club. So we've had a solid season. We haven't made that many signings, but we made some quality signings rather than a lot of signings, which a lot of clubs are doing nowadays. Nottingham Forest, I think they've made 18 so far, which is crazy. So yeah, look,
I think they've got about another four coming, apparently.
Another four coming. Exactly.
No, seriously,
it's crazy. But for us, we've kept it simple. We've targeted the areas that we need to strengthen on, and so far we have delivered. I feel like the one position that we still need is that midfielder, and that really depends on Conor Gallagher. Is he going to come back? Hopefully he does, but it's looking very difficult with all the teams linked with him and Chelsea reluctant to sell him. We wanted to buy him on a permanent deal, but Chelsea seem like they want to loan him out, so we'll see what happens.
Your season start, I mean, you're obviously quite pleased with your season start, because Manchester City, again, we put that to the back of the of the box, you know what I'm saying? Because Manchester City, most people don't expect to beat Manchester City, even though, you know, like I said to you, if your game was 45 minutes, just like if, you know, Fulham's and Leicester's game was 45 minutes, they'd have been very happy with 45 minutes games this season. Like, you know, Manchester City, you were 2-0 up at half time, but you lost 4-2 in that one. But like I said to you, you played Villa, you beat the Villa, you got the Arsenal, which probably didn't quite go to plan, you know, yeah. And then you had, I think you had another game
Liverpool.
As well. I mean, just talk us through your Liverpool, that's right, which you got a point out of Liverpool, which I suppose at the time you probably thought was quite good, but then after that, I mean, they seem to be having a tricky start to the season, but then Bournemouth punished Bournemouth. Bournemouth are the one that they were the whipping boys for you taking the points off of Liverpool, I think. But just talk us about your start to the season.
So our start to the season was always going to be difficult. When you mentioned some of the teams, Arsenal, they're not the, well, I say old Arsenal, but Arsenal from previous seasons where they've been inconsistent. They've had a fantastic start to the season. We've had Liverpool. I know they haven't had a great start to the season, but with the quality that Liverpool have, it's always a difficult game going to Anfield, you know, and trying to get a result out there. We've had Man City, we've had, you know, Villa. So look, we've had a very difficult start, and in that start, we've lost to Arsenal. We could have came out with a point in that game if we took our chances. Aston Villa, we played some great football. We played how we expected us to play against Aston Villa, and we absolutely controlled the game. We could have won that game. In fact, not, you know, we could have won that at least 5-1 or whatever it would have been if we took our chances in that game. And against, most recently against, for example, against Manchester City, it was away from home, and we were 2-0 up until Haaland decided to show up, and I don't think anyone can stop him. So look, overall, in terms of our performances, I haven't had no problem with them. I feel like we've played solid as a team. We're getting better from last season, which is a positive sign. In terms of when you're comparing some of the games last season against these teams, we have improved, I believe, which is always great. And it's now, we're looking at the next game against Brentford, where it's a game that we need to, you know, maybe pick up points, because we've had some difficult start. We've had a difficult start, and it's not going to get any easier. But the thing about the Premier League season is, look at Brentford. And Brentford will look at us as potential, you know, game winners. It's just a game that you can win. But the Premier League is not easy. I've not seen the Premier League as this competitive in a long time. You're looking at teams like Liverpool, looking at teams like City. So Brentford is going to be a difficult task. But when we're playing at home, under the lights at Selhurst Park, the expectations has to be there. It's not the first season anymore. It's the second season under Patrick Vieira. We've got some solid players. So we need to be looking at this game, aiming to win.
I mean, you've talked about Vieira, and you talked about, you know, last season, it was his first season, and you talked about your previous managers, which you didn't seem to be too impressed with, in retrospect, I'd say, you know what I'm saying? Because it's easy when, you know, look back on them times, and you basically said that those managers were trying to keep you in the division, and you felt that, you know, Vieira was a different entity. I'm going to ask you, though, you know, how happy are you with him, and are you confident he can take you to the next level?
He is the best thing to have to Crystal Palace probably since it's arguable, but I mean, there's been managers that has kept us up, but he's probably the best thing to happen to Crystal Palace since our promotion. We have not had a manager like this in terms of a manager who believes in the players. We mentioned the likes of Wilfried Zaha. Wilfried Zaha, even now, he's linked with a move away from the club, but I've not seen the guy this happy. Like, he's built a genuine connection between the fans, the players. You can see that everyone loves Patrick Vieira at the club. And, you know, he's implemented that belief. We've got a winner at the football club. And it's not only that, it's just the style of football. So for me, under Patrick Vieira, yes, I do truly believe that he could be the man that leads us to the next level. Even last season, in terms of like picking, we finished, I believe, 12th. We didn't pick up some points at certain stages that we should have picked up. We dropped some silly points. But we're seeing improvements already. Every single time we're seeing improvements. And he's not a manager. What I hate is a manager that just has a plan A. We've had a lot of them at Crystal Palace where they have a plan A, and if plan A doesn't work, it's still plan A. But Patrick Vieira, going into the game against Liverpool, for example, he took a risk. He went with a, not risk, but he changed the style of football. Went with a back five, and it worked. He tried against Manchester City. It worked for the first half. It didn't work for the second half, but he likes to change it about. There's not, well, of course, there's going to be players like Wilfried Zaha and Eze who's performing week in, week out. He's going to have a solid position in the squad, but the squad can always change. It can change depending on our opponent. And that's the type of manager he is. He's a modern manager. He's proactive rather, you know, and reactive at the same time, depending on the situation. Like, he likes to change things up throughout the game. So he's got all the qualities as a football manager to take us to the next level. Of course, we're Crystal Palace. We haven't got the wealth of the likes of Manchester City, Manchester United, and all of them big clubs. It could take a while. But based on what I've seen last season and the start of this season, we're heading in the right direction. And I believe where our next spot should be is top 10. Top 10 finish for Crystal Palace after nearly being in the Premier League for 10 years is a fair target. Look, 10 years is a long time. So I believe that it can take us to top 10 and then hopefully from there build on. I truly believe that.
It's interesting, you talked about Conor Gallagher, who I think is a really good player. Again, we remember him from the Championship. Okay, he really annoyed us, actually. I think he was playing for Charlton at the time. I think he scored against us as well in a game that we were meant to win, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh no, we lost this game. But he's a good player, and again, I think he was the main danger person when we played you at the beginning of last season. You've obviously lost him in the window, or you've lost him and you're still trying to sign him in the window, but you're not quite sure if you're going to get him back. How big a difference has it made to Palace, him not being in the side? And I know that you said that you've signed a few new players, but are you stronger or weaker without him, do you think?
See, this is a topic that even Palace fans themselves are debating. It's not a clear answer because we've lost Conor Gallagher, and Conor Gallagher was massive for us last season. Towards the end of the season, yes, he might have dropped off a bit. I feel like fatigue played a part in that. And also, it seemed like when the season was over after the FA Cup semi-final, and you know that we could have finished in like European spaces, I feel like he kind of let go of the gas. But overall, Conor Gallagher's contribution last season was fantastic. You saw it. He got called up to the England squad. He was one of the highly spoken English players. He's like the next upcoming English player. But I don't think we're missing as much this season. There's still a hole that if he joins would be massive that he can fill. But that's the reason for that is Eberechi Eze, which we didn't see last season. And Eze's playmaking and his connection with Wilfried Zaha has been absolutely fantastic. So he's come on and taken the burden from Conor Gallagher, but in a different way, because Eze is more of a playmaker, whereas Conor Gallagher is more of like a number eight. He can go forward, he can come back, and he's not excellent as a number 10. He can't play as a number six. He's just a typical number eight. But Eze, as a number 10, has done a fantastic job. So we haven't missed Gallagher as much, but then you got Jeffrey Schlupp there. And you can see that is our main weakness. You've got Doucouré, Eze, and Jeffrey Schlupp. So if we bring back Conor Gallagher, it'll still be a massive improvement. But it hasn't been as bad as some expected after him leaving.
We've talked about Gallagher, who is not in the side at the moment now, which we're very happy with. But I'm going to ask you, who should be looking out for in the Palace team? You know, who is exciting you? And also, tell you something. Tell me who, if you're a school teacher, you're going to say should do better.
So in terms of looking out for, I mentioned the key player right now, Eze. Of course, you know, the likes of Zaha. I don't know if he'll feature tomorrow because he's had a bit of an injury concern. And Patrick Vieira confirmed that him and Tyrick Mitchell, they might not be playing tomorrow, which could be a massive miss, because you're talking about our starting left back and left winger. That whole side could be different.
Which is interesting, because Tariq Mitchell was actually in the Brentford Academy.
Yeah.
And when Brentford shut down their academy, Tariq Mitchell was one of the players who left at the time, and he went on to find another team, which was Crystal Palace. You know, and Darren Powell, who's one of our ex-boys as well, who's one of your academy coaches, is down there, and I think he took him under his wing, took him to the next level. And I think there's conversations saying that if he, you know, if Brentford had decided not to drop him, then he'd, you know, be playing, you know, he would be our left back. But the point is that we had to get rid of our academy at the time, because basically Man United and Man City and teams were picking up our top players before we can actually sign them on to full contracts. So we had to change our style. That's what it was. But I had to mention that fact, because you have got Tariq Mitchell, which, you know, he will do very well. And I remember the director of football at the time when he shut it down, he said to me, some of the players that we're going to drop are going to go on and they're going to have very good careers, but unfortunately they're at the age where we can't sign them, so we're going to have to let them go. So fair play to you about Tariq, but carry on anyway.
Tariq, look, he's a fantastic footballer, and he's still very young, and he's one of the he's played for England already, which is very good in itself. A player that's played, you know, left Brentford, come to Crystal Palace. I think he had a bit of injury concerns before, and when he was younger, he wasn't the most, you know, he wasn't the most fittest player. He could get injured at times as well, but he's done a great job. But of course, he might be out. But in general, as I was saying about the best players to look out for, Eze is the player on form right now. He's come back from one of the worst injuries that you can get in football, and he just bounced back. And I feel like Vieira football is suiting him. He's that creative player to create chances. In fact, talking about chances, I was looking at this today, because there's a debate whether we should take back Conor Gallagher. But Eze's already created three big chances for Crystal Palace. Last season, Conor Gallagher as a whole season only created five, which shows, you know, the talent of Eze and his playmaking. Other players, likes of Joachim Anderson, he's been one player that lots of neutrals I've been talking about recently. He's been scoring goals in defence. He's a solid defender. He's a ball playing defender as well. So you have to make sure you close him down, otherwise he'll ping out that one pass that could take out the whole press out of the team. And Cheick Doucouré, he's a player that has gone unnoticed, but he's a very solid number six that is comfortable on the ball, that is a solid defender, can play out with the ball from the back as well, helping the defence and attack. So yeah, I think in general, when you're looking at players to look out for, it's mainly in midfield for now. But then again, if Elise comes back, everyone knows about his talents, what he's done as well. So he's one to look out for. And of course, Zaha. But I'm not too sure about them two players. So right now, I think it's on midfield and defence. That's his strong points.
School teacher, you know, who could do better?
Oh, who could do better? it's a hard one in terms of who could do better. But there's... Look, Jordan Ayew, we could do better as a football club than Jordan. Jordan Ayew is a fantastic servant, but he's not Premier League starter in terms of getting goals and assists. So we could do better than Jordan Ayew. But who could do better? I think it goes to strikers. So there's Odson Edouard, which we signed from Celtic last season. There's Jean-Philippe Mateta. In general, Odson Edouard, he's had a relatively decent start to the season, but there's been a few chances that he could have potentially done better in terms of finishing them away. Sometimes his decision making isn't the greatest, but it seemed like now he's getting a run of games, his confidence is growing. So Odson Edouard could have done better, but he has been improving over the last one or two games as well, getting an assist and a goal before the Man City game. So look, we haven't had too bad of a start. Players have been performing well, but maybe up front, Edouard could have slotted a few more chances.
I've been asking everyone this as well, so just briefly, just give us your 1-2-3-4. Who's going to be top, second, third, fourth in the Premier League this season? Just what do you think? Because obviously things are different now, the games have started, and it probably hasn't gone to plan, and you probably may have a different choice now than you might have done at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so in terms of, I think City are still champions. I feel like their quality is great. For me, second place, it's hard, because Arsenal look promising, but it's too early in the season. It is. But they have definitely improved. And I feel like they are either the second or the third best team. It depends on how Liverpool carry on the season after their dodgy start. But for me, probably City, Liverpool, Arsenal, and the last spot. I don't want to sleep on Chelsea, but then again, Tottenham, they look decent. The last spot is not as guaranteed. I think it might go to Tottenham, it might go to Chelsea.
Choose one,
not United.
All right,
I'm going to go Tottenham.
Okay, there you go. Listen, and the other thing is that, but forget that, because as far as I'm concerned, is the relegation battle, which is one that we always, as Brentford fans, we still be looking down below us. at the moment it's below us, but it may not be at another stage of the season, just to make sure that we ain't in that. So you're always looking to see what the teams are doing beyond there. And the interesting thing is that, you know, the bottom three at the moment now aren't the three that people would have said, okay, maybe one team is, are going to be in the bottom three. So things again have changed in the bottom three. And if you had, if I'd asked you this question at the beginning of the season, I'm sure you would have given me a different answer now. You've got Leicester, Wolves and Everton in the bottom three at the moment now. Who are your bottom three?
I think Bournemouth, Everton potentially. I think they could be there. There's if you're looking at them as a whole, Bournemouth, Everton, and then look, Fulham have had a decent start. I don't know if they'll be able to carry that, but it seemed like Mitrovic is firing under them. I have to pick one team. It is hard. I don't think Wolves will be there, but is there another team? Southampton are weird as well. Who do I pick? I don't know, Billy. Who do I pick? I've got Bournemouth, Everton.
You choose. Go. Get in there.
All right, there. Bournemouth, Everton, and I'll go Nottingham Forest because of the amount of players they've signed. I wonder if it'll work out.
Coming back to Brentford and the Palace game, obviously we're playing on Tuesday night, 7:45 kickoff. We're leaving very early. I think we're leaving about 11 o'clock in the morning to get down there, actually. We're going to make a whole day of it, meeting up with my Palace chums, the Neil and the Toby and the Tom and the Pete and all sorts of characters as well, meeting up there. Even my lawyer, actually, is a Palace fan as well. So in between us talking about bits and pieces about the music industry and people teeing up your music, as people do as well, like, you know, say Stephen as me, we actually go into Brentford and Palace talk, like, you know, so I'm sure that I'll be chatting to him in the morning, and I might even meet up with him during the day as well. So that's quite funny. Your lawyer is a football fan stroke legal person, like I'm saying, so he's going to go to football here. But anyway, like I said to you, match tomorrow, the last season points shared, early game for us at the beginning of the season, we tried to keep it tight. The second game was a horrible game, you know, we just finger in the game and we just didn't want to sort of let in any goals, and it was not a great game. But this, I mean, I just want to get an idea more about your thoughts on Brentford. I mean, obviously, just brief thoughts overall from last season and this season from what you've seen.
I feel like last season was always going to be a challenge for Brentford. You had a decent start to the season, then you had the moment where it was basically you trying to get points from anywhere, and then you signed Eriksen and it seemed like it got going again. But Brentford as a whole, last season, staying up, that I think that should have been objective, and you managed to do that. And the second season is always challenging because you have teams that do have that second season syndrome, but you haven't seen that Brentford so far. And in fact, it's looking more positive. You've had some quality results.
What I've got to ask you, what is second season syndrome? Because again, coming from a club that does stats, second season syndrome doesn't exist. In fact, apparently we're told it's if you're going to put money on it, you know what I'm saying, you're probably better putting money that's, you know, okay, teams like Fulham and this, that, there. But what is second season syndrome?
I think the first season you got the momentum and you got the hype around you, and you manage to go through that, and then afterwards it becomes a what if situation. Like, what do we do now? We've stayed up, and then you have teams that potentially go and spend a lot of money on a lot of new players, and that doesn't work out, and then you have players maybe shuffling around. So the second season in a way can be more of a struggle because you don't know exactly what you're trying to achieve. Is it another season of staying up, and then some teams go and splash out, some teams change the way that change the expectations. So I feel like as a whole there are some teams that do struggle after the first season.
But surely it's club dependent, and I'm just throwing this out because it's in about the way that you run your club rather than something that exists. Because everyone says about this syndrome, which is kind of like, you know, again, mainstream journalists almost say it's a thing that will happen.
No.
Surely it's about clubs and how they are run. And if you've got clubs that may come up and they're run in a particular way, or you've got a manager that thinks in a particular way, or they've got a director of football that's in a particular way, then that doesn't happen. So Wolverhampton Wanderers come in and they're just like, what you're talking about? Or Leicester come in and they're saying, what you're talking about? So it's kind of a bit of a kind of, I think there's a bit of a blanket term, and we sat there and we heard this second season syndrome thing, and because we're Brentford, we laugh because everyone from when we're in the fourth, third division, they'll just, you never get to the second division, you never get promoted, you'll never this, you'll never sign good players, you never, everyone always puts, you know, these negative things against us. So second season syndrome, we do chuckle at that term because we actually don't know what it means.
Yeah, well, look, I 100% agree. It depends on who's running the football club as well. You guys have got a structure there, so I feel like the chance of you guys failing in the second season is extremely lower than some other teams that just come in and they don't seem like they know exactly what they want. They have like a short-term vision. Whereas Brentford, it seems like they have a long-term vision in terms of the players that you're signing and the direction that you're heading in with Thomas Frank. Whereas other clubs that, you know, in the past, you mentioned some good teams like Wolves and Leicester that show. I think all them good clubs, the correlation between them is that they're well-run clubs. They've got long-term future projects rather than just the short term in terms of staying up every single season. So the second season syndrome, I didn't think it would happen to Brentford this season. I thought Brentford would be relatively well because of how your football club is run. There's no need to get worried about Brentford, but there were people talking about potentially like Eriksen leaving, whereas I don't think that would have been too big of a problem. Of course, you would have, maybe you know best, you would have liked Eriksen back at the club, but then again, if you're a well-run club like Brentford, you can always try to fill in that gap, whereas other teams, they'll struggle because they haven't got structure. So the second season syndrome basically goes for clubs that don't have a long-term project and go season-season basis. And them clubs, not even just second season, it might even be first season, where they just completely slip up. So, I don't think that's going to be the case with Brentford. I don't. I never did. And I don't this season. I'm not saying that because I'm here, because that's not the case. I'm just saying that because of how your club is run. Yeah, everyone knows that Brentford got their own structure and it's been working out so far.
And fingers crossed. And just talking about a player, I'm just wondering, look, players, a player or a couple of players that concern you or you're impressed with from River.
Yeah, I think the main player that everyone talks about is Tony. Even though I wonder how you feel about him, because there has been some questionable moments in terms of what he said about Brentford. Maybe, I don't know, it depends on how you've really seen him things. But he's been also, I believe, linked with a move away from the club. I don't know if you guys will sell him at this point. I would be very surprised, potentially, if he was to leave. I feel like it's a solid addition. I think Tony and, you know, Hickey as well, with some new signings that you made. The thing about Brentford and Palace in terms of like the link between the two football clubs is that we have Doug Friedman. I don't know exactly who your director of football is. I'm not going to sit here and act like I do, but I know the type of transfers that you go for. We're pretty much similar in a way that we go and buy players rather on their qualities rather than the big names. We've looked at the Championship a lot. We've signed Elise, we've signed Eze. In fact, we signed Sam Johnson recently as well. Mark Gahey, who was on Swansea on loan after that loan finished, we signed him from Chelsea. So both of our clubs seem like we make some decent signings in terms of going for players with quality rather than big names. So we've got a bit of correlation there, but you know, Hickey, as I said, and Tony, I think them two players as well, and Mbeumo, how do you pronounce it?
Yeah, Brian Mbeumo.
He's been quality as well. Maybe he should have scored a bit more goals with the chances that he's got. But look, you got quality players that know their role in the team, and tomorrow there's a few that we should watch out for, and I feel like it will be an interesting battle in certain areas of the pitch, such as Tony against Joachim Manson and Mark Gahey. I think that would be a decent battle to look out for.
Right, okay, so battles to look out for. Tell me, how is this game going to pan out?
I think it depends on how Brentford set up. If they set up with a back four, I could see it being very tightly contested. I think last time around when he came to Selhurst Park, I believe it was a back five, I might be wrong, at home, and like that you guys kind of caught us off guard a bit. But I feel like this time around we're more used to different styles of football, so I feel like it'd be the main battle is midfield. Right now we've got Eze, Decore, and then Jeffrey Schlupp, and the way that we play our football, if the midfield doesn't work, it could be a very long day, because you're focused on possession-based football, and Eze and Decore are the links to it. So I feel like if Brentford stop us in midfield, they have a massive chance of winning. And also, it depends on another battle. It's hard to say then, is Zaha going to play? If Zaha plays, then how does Brentford cope with Zaha and Eze? Whereas before, we used to be just Wilfred Zaha FC. Now we've got one or two creative players that could cause problems. So I think that there could be different battles depending on which players start. But I feel like the main one is going to be midfield. Can Brentford win that midfield? When we last faced you away from home, you was very tight and compact in terms of not letting any spaces in. If you do that once again, then, you know, you might stop us from going and getting into the dangerous positions in the final third. So it really depends on how Thomas Frank approaches this game.
Okay, so listen, I've got to ask you, score prediction.
score prediction. So my score prediction for the game, I have to back my boys. I think it's going to be very tight. It is, and it could go either way. But I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, saying that now I've watched one team win like 3-0. I feel like it'll be like a 1-0 game. I'm going for 1-0 Palace. I feel like Brentford will keep it tight. I know that Thomas Frank has talked about defence as well. Maybe an area that you could potentially focus on in this game to make sure, you know, Everton, I believe that when we're talking about on our channel, we're talking about balls over the top. Palace might look at that, another area that we could potentially exploit. So I think it's going to be a tight game. Both Palace and Brentford are similarly matched. You've got some quality players, we've got some quality players. But I feel like because it's Selhurst Park on a Tuesday night and the difficult games that we've had so far, we beat Aston Villa and this is another game that we're looking to ideally get 3 points. It's not going to be easy, but yeah, 1-0 Palace. That's my prediction.
Okay, wicked. Listen, D, it's been great chatting to you. Listen, I might catch up with you, like I said to you, I'm going to be out all day tomorrow, so I might bump into you at some stage in the Thornton Heath type area. Like I said, we'll be getting down to that area, I don't know, maybe about 6:30 as well for the last of our little pub crawl thing all the way down from, I don't know, Dulwich or wherever it is, or Central London or Peckham. I've got no idea where we're going, which is going to be all good. So listen, great to catch up with you. And like I said, you enjoy yourselves with the season. You come down to New Griffin Park at the end of the season. We'll catch up with you for a beer there as well. But like I said to you, don't forget to buy us a beer if you like us at besotted.com/beer. Thank you to everyone that's bought us a beer as well. Also, Besotted Global is our new little social media community, besotted.com/global. Check that out. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on all good podcast channels and write us a review if you like. But listen, D, it's good to chat to you. Brentford versus Palace, or Palace versus Brentford, Tuesday night, 7:45 kickoff in South East London. It's gonna be great. Check us out on Thursday for our podcast for the Leeds match. But this is Billy Grant here from the Besotted crew, and we got D from Back of the Nest podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Brentford FC, come on, come on, you Brentford, come on, you bees, come on, you Brentford, come on, sit.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.